Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin at the very top line of Daf Tes with a quote from the Brisa, the long Brisa that was found back on Daf Vav Amud Aleph that dealt with the Arba Rishuyos. The topic that we have assigned to this Gemara, namely the topic heading, you can see in the outside margin under our heading No Say, Askupa. This is an entranceway or a threshold to a particular location, an alleyway, or possibly a house. This will be the subject of the Gemara. Mishameshes kishtei rishuyos. It can serve or appear legally as one of two domains. Pesach Pasuach versus Pesach Na'ul. It will depend on the door being open or the door being closed, the door after the threshold. We should note ahead of time that as far as this Omid Gemara, proper understanding of this will be best facilitated if you have access to diagrams. We have attempted to provide some diagrams on the side of the Gemara, but it will be beneficial to attempt to get a hold of even more accurate diagrams to give a greater sense of perspective. We will now start the Gemara at the top line, at the end of the line, a frame around the Tanaic source. This is a quote from the Tanaic source back on Davov Amud Aleph. Achirim omrim, askupa mishameshes shtei rishios. An askupa, a threshold or an entranceway, can serve as one of two domains. Bizman shepesach posuach kilifnim, when the doorway is open. So, the threshold will have the definition of the interior. In other words, it would be a rishus hayochid. So that if one were on the threshold of this area, so he would be able to carry items around on this area, carry into the enclosed area. And Pesach Na'ul, however, if the doorway is closed, so that you have an entrance way, an entrance area, a threshold, at the end of which the door, there is a door which opens into, let's say, an alleyway, a movui, and the door is closed, so the area known as the askupa, the threshold, will be kilachutz, will be like the Rishus HaRabin, will have a definition of a public area. Or, if we say it in other terms, it will not have the din of a Rishus HaYochid. It won't be considered like the interior. The Gemara now asks a question, and the question itself lasts a number of lines, and therefore we have a long question marking the kuf you see encircled to the right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. So the Gemara asks, V'afal gav deles lei lechi? It was said in this source regarding the opened door that the threshold would have the din of lifnim. It would have the din, the legal status of a rishus hayochid. Are you suggesting this to be the case even if there is no lechi, even if there is no upright post? A lechi is, as we said, an upright post that's attached to the side of an entranceway. Very often you'll find the term lechi as a means of being matir, allowing carrying inside a movui, an alleyway into which courtyards and houses open up. The alleyway, generally speaking, is adjacent to a public thoroughfare, a Rishus HaRabim, so as to enable one to carry around items in the alleyway. The rabbis added a stringency, a requirement to produce set up a heker, an item showing that the alleyway is something different, set apart from the public thoroughfare that runs by it. That means of tikkun or heker is called a lechi. So we have right now an entranceway, and the thinking is to a mavui. This is Rashi's approach. Tosfos disagrees in part with this approach, but for our purposes, we're dealing with an alleyway, and you can see that we have diagrams that show this situation. And in our diagrams, we're going to be presenting an aerial view. In all of the diagrams, an aerial view. It would be more beneficial to have a proper artist's rendition, which I am not, of a three-dimensional type diagram, giving a better sense of perspective. But for our purposes, to get some understanding in this Gemara, these diagrams should be sufficient. We're dealing with an aerial view, and you can see in the first diagram there is a mavui, and that's the we can call it a dead end street or an alleyway, and there are houses and courtyards that are built around this, and there is an entranceway that we call the askupa. And we mentioned that if the door was open, so it would be considered, the askupa area would be considered as if it were part of the enclosed mavui area. There was no mention in the source, though, of having a lechi, an upright post at the entrance to the askupa. And if there is no upright post at the entrance to the askupa, it will be that which we call the lechi. So then, how can you say that if the doorway to the mavui is open, how can you say that the askupa will be mutter? So the Gemara's question, let's read it now inside. The afal gav de les lei lechi. Are you saying that when the door is open, the askupa takes on the definition of the enclosed area, and it's called kilifnim? The Omer Rav Chama bar Gur Yomer Rav. Rav Chama said, Toicha Pesach tzorich lechi acher lahatiro. The Toicha Pesach is the entrance way that which we're associating right now with the askupa, that needs an additional lechi. In other words, even if you have a lechi at the entrance to the mavui proper, that doesn't help to matir the entranceway itself. So that in our diagram, you might have a lechi at the point where there is the delis, where there is a door, but that doesn't help to matir the entranceway. V'chitema, you might want to say, well, in our case, the reason that there is no lechi required is because the less bay dalet al dalet, because the entranceway itself is a very small area. It's lacking the measure of 4 by 4 tfachim. It's a very small area. The Omar Rav Chama bar Gurya, Omar Rav, Toicha Pesach afal pi she'ein boy dalid al dalid tzorich lechi acher lahatiro. An entranceway, even if it is lacking that very small dimension, but it still needs an additional lechi to matir it, to allow it to be considered a private domain. So how are we to understand the source above, which began with the Achirim Oimrim, where there was an indication that if the doorway to the enclosed area is open, so the entranceway also is considered like lifnim, like the interior, even without any reference to a lechi. So to answer this, we have two approaches. And on the side, we have a mivneh heading to explain the purpose of these markings. So under our mivneh heading, you see a double underline feature. These represent shnei deos lahasbir achirim deliel. These are two opinions, Rav Yudah Marav and later Rav Ashi, to explain the achirim that opened up our Gemara. You also notice the diamond with a colored in tip. This is highlighting the expressions Baskupas Mavui and later Baskupas Bias. So we start the answers. Number one, Omarav Yuda Omarav, Ocho Baskupas Mavui Askinan. We're talking here about the entranceway to a Mavui. A Mavui, as we said before, is an alleyway. Chetzio Makura, Vechetzio She'eno Makura. The entranceway to this Mavui, and we have a diagram showing this. You can see in the diagram with a Kora over it. A Kora is a crossbeam. And the crossbeam is another means of being matir a Mavui. We spoke before about a lechi, an upright pole. Here, we're talking about a Mavui entranceway that has a crossbeam, a kora, going across the entranceway, positioned in the middle or halfway into the entranceway. In other words, the kora is not at the edge of the askupa bordering on the Rishus Rabban, the public thoroughfare, but the kora is positioned halfway into the askupa. The kora of a mavui measures one tefach. Its width is supposed to be one tefach, and it runs across the entire entranceway, as you can see in our diagram, in our aerial view. So that's what the Gemara means when it says, that's what Rav Yudah Marav is saying, chetzio mekora v'chetzio she'eno mekora, v'kiruyo klape pnim. Kiryo means the positioning of the kora is facing inwards. Now, as the Gemara continues, Pesach Pasuach Kilifnim, in this diagram, we try to demonstrate the possibility of the door being open. If the door is open, the doorway to the Mavui is open, so then the area from the Kora inwards, that small area from the Kora towards the Mavui will be considered part of the Mavui. Pesach Na'ul Kilechutz. If, however, the doorway of the Mavui, the door into the Mavui, is what we call Pesach Sagur, if it's closed, so then that small area from the Kora towards the Mavui will not be permitted. And we won't be able to say that the Kora in your mind's eye descends to form a wall, creating a small enclosure. Because, as Rashi says, the idea of a Kora descending in your mind's eye to form a wall is only effective if the enclosed area is for Tvachim. However, we're talking about a case where from the Kora inwards you have less than 4 Tvachim, so the concept of the descending imaginary wall formed by the Kora does not take effect. Rashi has a great amount of detail that he adds to the understanding of this Gemara, but for our purposes, within the context of our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi, we're going to continue in the Gemara But as we said, Rashi does offer a great deal more information. For those of you who have not learned Maseches Erevin, you might find the information in Rashi a little difficult to understand. But Mirtz Hashem, next time around through Shas, you'll appreciate the Rashi all the more. We've attempted to add some details here and there for the better understanding of the Rashi, but we can go on at this point. Rav Ashi Omar, Le'oilom Beskupas Bayis Askinon. We have another diagram to accompany this particular answer. Rav Ashi says that the Achirim source at the top is featuring the entranceway to a house. So once again, we're looking at an aerial view from the top down. We're looking above a house, and there is an overhang that constitutes the entranceway to the house. And it's reasonable to assume that this entranceway has walls besides the point of connection to the house itself, where there would be a door entering the house. There are two, let us assume there are, the entranceway also has, is surrounded on two sides by walls, but that might not be absolutely necessary. For our purposes, we're interested in the overhang and how this is set up. So Rav Ashi says that we're talking about the entranceway to a house. Ukegoin shekira b'shtei koros. Before we go on, if the entranceway had a solid covering to it, the standard entranceway is assumed to be four tefachim at least. So the covering, if it were a solid entranceway covering, which we do not feature in our diagram, then the area would be certainly considered an enclosed private area. However, the case is a little different, and as the Gemara says, ukegoin shekiro b'shtei koros. There are two boards that serve as a covering to this entranceway. However, there's a gap between the two boards, and we've indicated this on our diagram, where we have this revach pochos mishlosha. There's a space less than three tfachim between these two boards that are covering the entranceway. So there's a space there. Ukegon shekira b'shtei koros she'ein b'zu arba, v'ein b'zu arba. The coverings, the boards that are covering the entranceway, neither one has a shiur, has a dimension of four tefachim. So that, as the Gemara says, she'ein b'zu arba, v'ein b'zu arba, v'ein b'ein zu l'zu shloisha. And likewise, there is a gap, but it's not more than three tefachim. In other words, there's a gap of less than three tefachim between the boards, and that's what we've called revach on our diagram. And in addition to that, videlis beemtza, there is a door, and we've tried to indicate this with a line, because we're dealing with an aerial view. That line is, we're looking at the top of a door that is positioned right between those two boards. The halacha then says, according to the Achirim, Pesach posua kilifnim, when the doorway is open, so the entire entranceway is considered like the house. Because when the door is open, we enable the two less than four tefachim boards to join up. How do they join up? Because the space between the two boards is less than three tefachim, and that is there's a concept that we've had in the past called lovud. Lovud means something that is attached, and when you have a gap of less than three tefachim, we can say it is attached. Some of you might recall this concept from the kaveres that was thrown. We had the throwing of a kaveres. And in that sugya, we also spoke about the kaveres being within three tefachim of the ground, having been considered attached at that point. So we're using the same concept of lovud over here, and saying that the boards are considered attached, and that can be said only when the door is open. However, Pesach na'ul, the Gemara says, kilachutz, when the door is closed, so the boards cannot join up with one another, and therefore they do not form a proper or a sufficient covering to make the enclosed area like the house, like a Rishus Hayochid. And as we said before, because when you have covering, before we spoke about the Korah, here we're talking about these boards covering the entranceway, since when the door is closed, under each one of the boards you have an area of less than 4 tefachim, so they don't serve to form an imaginary wall. If you imagine the edges of these boards to descend and form a wall, an enclosure, they will not do that if the enclosed area is less than 4 tefachim. We continue in the Gemara with another quote from the source on Daf Vov. V'im hoisa iskupo gavoa asora urochova dalet. If the threshold was itself an elevated area, this you will often have when you have a street going by houses and you ascend a couple of stairs, and before you enter the house you're within an entrance area, an askupa, threshold. It might very well be 10 tefachim in height and have an area, a floor area 4x4 tefachim. So this source is saying that harezu reshus le'atzmo, it then becomes its own domain. What do we mean that it becomes its own domain, a separate entity? So we'll better understand this as we go along in the Gemara. Misayale l'Rav Yitzchok bar Avdimi, this Tanaic source supports Rav Yitzchok's analysis. Yom Rav Yitzchok bar Avdimi, Omer Hoya Rabbi Meir. Now, it's pointed out that the Achirim is Rabbi Meir, so that we're dealing with a source that a section of the source that was introduced by Achirim Omer. We saw this at the top of the page, and this is simply a continuation of that same source. That we're talking about, really, we're talking about Rebbe Meir, who is titled Achirim, as the Gemara at the end of Maseches Horius reveals. And what does Rebbe Meir say? Kol mokom shato moitze shtei rishuyos vein rishus achas. Wherever you have what appears to be two domains that are really one. What do you mean by that? Two domains that are really one. We're talking about two areas that are a rishus hayochid. Kagoin, and here is an example to appreciate that. Omud birushus hayochid. Imagine you have a courtyard, and you have a pole or a platform in the courtyard that measures gavua sor rochav dalet, that has a height of 10 tefachim, and has a width of 4x4 tefachim. Rabbi Meir says of what would appear to us as a very strict, a very restrictive ruling. Osor lekasef olov. It would be forbidden to place things on this. Lekasef is all, in the past can mean to rest upon. More likely, it would mean to place things upon it for let's say adjusting a package that one might have on his back. So it's also to. We'll use this as a resting point. And why is that? After all, it's all within an enclosed area. You're dealing with a courtyard, and it simply has this platform in the middle of it. What could possibly be wrong? Gezeiro mishum teil b'rishus harabim. What Rabbi Meir is worried about is a case where you have a projection, a mound or a hill in the middle of a public thoroughfare. So if you have a case like that, where you have a public thoroughfare and something jutting forth from it, like a mound or a platform, that would be a case of a Rishus HaYochid in the middle of a Rishus HaRabim. And if a person were to position things or place things on that, while having been in the Rishus HaRabim and placing it on the mound, that would be an Isur D'Oraisa. Of Moitzi Merushus, the Rishus, of placing something that was originally in the Rishus Harabim and now you're putting it on this mound, so as to prevent that situation from arising. Rabbi Meir introduces this stringency that anytime you have a setup like that where you have a flat area that, although it might be a Rishus HaYochid, they have something then protruding forth from it with Rishus HaYochid dimensions, even that one cannot use. We continue on Amud Beis with the Mishnah at the top. The Mishnah deals with activities, and we should actually read our little topic heading, the Nosei that you see in the margin. Under the Nosei, we've written Minia Mita'asuka Samuch Lemincha. One's restraining himself from getting involved with all kinds of different activities before he has davened, he's prayed the Mincha Shmoyne Esrei. So the Rashi points out what might be a question that many of you are asking. We're learning Hilchos Shabbos, we're in Maseches Shabbos now. Why is there any mention in made of things that would be more appropriate in Maseches Brochas, which deals with Hilchos Tefillah? So Rashi will point out at the second line from the top, Achi Yispalel. Rashi says Shemo Yishkach. If a person gets involved with these activities, which we'll learn about in the Mishnah, well, he might forget because he's involved now with these activities, Velo Yispalel, and he won't daven, he won't pray his mincha service. These things apply even during the weekdays. As we said, every day of the week one davens mincha. And that which it's taught over here, Mishum de Domi Laha de Tani Gabo, because it has a similar sound, so to speak, to that which is featured in an upcoming Mishnah, where it says Lo Yetzei Achayet B'Machtoi Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. A tailor is restricted from going outdoors with his needle that he uses for his work close to the onset of Shabbos. Shemo Yishkach V'Yetzei Mishetechach Techshach, because of the fear that he might go out after Shabbos sets in also with the needle. And that would be already a Shabbos problem. So the point in common to this Mishnah and the Shabbos-related Mishnah dealing with the tailor is the Shemo Yishkach idea. And you can see in our markings, we've squiggle-underlined this in the Rashi to bring out the similarity. So in both cases, we're dealing with restriction because of the fear of otherwise coming to forget something. So the Mishnah begins. Lo yeshev odom lifnei hasapor samuch lemincha chispal. A person should not seat himself by the barber for a haircut prior to at a time that's called samuch lemincha. Now the term samuch lemincha itself will be explained in the Gemara, because when we speak about samuch lemincha, there are really two time periods that would be described by that term. One is called Mincha Gedoila, and the other is called Mincha Ketana. Samuch is an expression meaning before. And we find the term before, Samuch meaning a half hour before. So the Mishnah is saying a person should not seat himself to receive a haircut before Mincha, a half hour before Mincha, and Shispal, until he davens. As we said, there are two kinds of mincha. There's mincha gedola, which on a proper 12-hour day, if we were to divide the day into an even 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of nighttime, samuch lemincha, or mincha gedola, would be at 12:30 p.m., just a half hour after noon. Samuch would be at 12 o'clock. And Rashi uses the term at the beginning of the seventh hour of the day. Because if you count your hours from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., that would be the first hour. At 12 noon, you've completed 6 hours. So 12 noon represents the beginning of the seventh hour. Mincha Gedola is from the 6.5 hours of the day, meaning 12:30, using just as a model the as we say the 12-hour daylight period. So the Mishnah goes on to say, Lo yikonis odom lemerchatz velo leburski velo lechol velo ledin. Likewise, a person should not enter a merchatz, a bathhouse, samach lemincha. He shouldn't go in, start the bathhouse activities at noon time if he before he makes sure that he davens. And we should point out that mincha, the mincha davening, the earliest time to daven mincha basically is at 12:30 p.m. So that even before the zman of mincha sets in, don't start these activities. And what else should he not start? Lo laburski. Burski is a tannery, so he shouldn't start the tanning procedure before davening mincha. Velo lechol, and he shouldn't start a meal. Velo ledin, he should not sit in judgment. Now, ve'im hischilu, if he started any one of these activities, if he started them anyway, ein mafsikin. We won't say, well, you've got to stop in the middle and now daven, but rather finish these activities and then daven afterwards. Mafsikin l'kriyashma. Obviously, kriyashma is not something that's associated with mincha. It's you're dealing here with a nighttime, with the onset of nighttime, and if one hasn't said kriyashma, so he has to stop what he is doing in order to say kriyashma. When the we're thinking, of course, when the zman kriyashma sets in, which is at seis hakorchavim, and the ein mafsikin l'tfila, but the requirement for stopping will not apply to Shmoyne Esrei, to Tefillah. The Gemara will deal with the seeming redundancy here. The Mishnah already said that regarding Im Hischilu Ein Mafsik, you don't stop, and we were talking about Yispalo Tefillah, so why do you mention again Ein Mafsik and Letfila over here? As we said, the Gemara will be dealing with the opening of the Gemara, and we have under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin a double underline. And this features shlavim, stages, levarer, eze mincha katoni, which mincha is spoken about when the Mishnah says, samuch lemincha. Hey, samuch lemincha. Which mincha are you referring to? Is it the mincha gedola or the mincha katana? And you're saying to restrain or desist from engaging in these activities a half hour before. So, if you're talking about a half hour before Mincha Gedola, which would come out to 12 noon, that's a half hour before 12:30, which is the beginning of Mincha Gedola. Amaylo, why are you saying not to start these activities? Ho'ikosheus b'yom tuva. There's a lot of time left afterwards. In other words, if a person, let's say, went to take a haircut, let him take a haircut at Samuch lemincha at 12 o'clock. How long does a haircut take place? How long does it take? How much time lasts for a haircut? Is there not a lot of time after the haircut that remains still for davening mincha? Even if the haircut took a half hour, so his haircut would finish at 12:30. That's plenty of time to start davening Shmon Esrei. Elo, samuch lemincha ketana. Well, maybe you're referring to a much later point in the day, which is the half hour before Mincha Ketana. Mincha Ketana is, using our 12-hour daylight model, Mincha Ketana itself would begin at 3:30 p.m. 3:30 p.m. in Rashi terminology, or as you see in other places in Gemara, is referred to as 9.5 hours of the day. In other words, at 3 p.m. you've completed 9 hours, so now it's 9.5 hours into the day would be Mincha Ketana. So Samuch LeMincha Ketana would be 3 p.m. So maybe that's what the Mishnah is referring to, that one should not start these activities at 3 p.m. because that's kind of closer to the end of the day, where the mincha, the amount of time remaining to daven mincha is much less. So first daven mincha and then do these things, and not the other way around. But this raises a question. What about the continuation of the Mishnah? We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow a few lines up, and you'll see where this quote is coming from. Im hischilu ein mafsikin. It's said in the Mishnah that if one began these activities, then
He doesn't start. He doesn't have to stop in order to daven. So what are we describing? He's at 3 p.m. He started one of these activities. Okay, you started. You shouldn't have started. You did anyway. We don't make you stop. Finish what you're doing and daven mincha later.
Well, if that's going to be our understanding, then we're presenting the Mishnah as a problem for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Neimar tevei tufta de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Should we say this is a repudiation of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Yom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Kevon shigia zman tfilas hamincha. Once the time for mincha arrives, osur laadam shiitoim klum koidem shiispalel tfilas hamincha. When the zman of mincha arrives, and if you're at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the Zman of Mincha started already from 12:30. So the Zman of Mincha clearly arrived. He says it's forbidden to taste anything before you daven. And here we're describing a situation where, well, if you started, go right ahead. You don't have to stop. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would certainly not agree with that. So the Gemara responds and says, "Loi le'olam samuch lemincha gedola." Now, before we go further in the Gemara, first let us take note of the markings. We have Roman numerals 1 and 2, and on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, we feature these numbers, and triangles also will appear in the next few lines in two different directions. These are Shnei Drochim lahazbir. We'll see two totally different approaches to explain the hadugmois b'mishnah, the different examples in the Mishnah, acharei shagemora kava shesomuch lemincha gedola katani. The Gemara here at this third stage of analysis, where we just had our third double underline, we're establishing that the Mishnah is talking about somuch lemincha gedola. And with that in mind, so we don't clash with Rabbi Shua ben Levi, because we're talking about a half hour before the possible time of davening begins. And the question then is, well, if it's so early in the day, then why would the Mishnah say don't start? So in the upcoming Gemara, we have two approaches to explain the examples of the Mishnah in order to understand why should I not start, even though we're so early in the day with regard to the Zman of Mincha. The series of triangles, you'll notice, there's a certain theme that categorizes or groups together the first group as opposed to the second group. The first group will feature the examples in the Mishnah in the context of rather elaborate experiences. The second group of triangles will feature the examples in the Mishnah in a much more conventional, restricted form of engagement, and still we will explain why not to start. What we just said might seem a bit abstract. Through the examples, it will become much clearer. But our purpose is simply to point out that the two approaches taken by the Gemara under our Roman numerals 1 and 2, there's a certain theme that runs between that groups together 1 versus group 2. So now let's go through the examples of the Mishnah, trying to understand why one should not begin these activities, even though it would seem that there's so much time left afterwards in order to daven mincha. So the Gemara continues. Ubetisperus, regarding the example of the haircut, it's the tisperus ben el osha. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that ben el osha, he was the son-in-law of Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, and he was a very wealthy individual. He invested money to demonstrate how the haircut of the Kohen Gadol in the time of the Beis HaMikdash appeared. Rashi points out, note in the Rashi points out, this is a Gemara in the Dorim, Daf Nun Aleph, where the Kohen Gadol in the time of the Beis HaMikdash used to have a haircut that tended to each hair individually, so that it wasn't a, he didn't get a crew cut. Rather, his hair was cut to a certain length, whereby you could bend the tip of each hair to the base of each neighboring hair. You can imagine how long that would take. So a tisperz ben elosha is a term for a specific kind of haircut where many, many, many hours would be invested in producing this hairdo. And therefore, you really don't have a lot of time afterwards, if any, to daven mincha. So therefore we're saying, if you're going to sit down for a tisperz ben elosha, better first daven mincha and then do that. Velola merchatz, don't engage in bathhouse activity. Well, it's not just a question of jumping into a shower, but rather lekula milsa de merchatz. A merchatz is termed a bathhouse, but a lot of different activities take place in the bathhouse, and Rashi lists them off, and they include hair washing or shampooing of the hair, a shower in hot water and then in cold water. And also sitting in a sauna experience, called Rashi calls lahazia, or some might know this by the term a schwitz. So that takes a lot of time, and therefore, even if you're at 12 noon, don't start the merchatz experience until you first daven mincha. Because otherwise, it could last a long time, and who knows, it's you're putting yourself in a precarious position regarding the amount of time that will be left to daven mincha after kula milsa de merchatz. Velo Laborski, the Laborski we mentioned was a tannery. This is a Laborski gedola. Rashi says, oirois harbe ubetchilas tikunam, talking about a tannery which has a lot of skins in it, and at the point that one begins the actual tanning process. So if one is beginning the tanning process and there are a lot of skins to deal with, so if he gets involved with that, even though he's starting that at 12 noon, he might find that there's little time left at the end for davening. So we say, don't take your chances and first daven and then get involved with the Borski Gedola. Velo lechol. What about the meal? So it's besuda gedola, a banquet-type meal, a very large, long-lasting meal. So that as well, we say in the Mishnah at the lechatchila not to begin a suda gedola if you have reached 12 noon, but rather first daven mincha, wait a half hour daven mincha, and then engage yourself in the suda gedola. Velo ledin. As far as sitting in judgment, betchilas din. This is a reference to not to start a court case at 12 noon, because that could take a long time, and who knows whether you'll have enough time to daven mincha after this. Rav Acha bar Yankiv Omar. Now, Rav Acha bar Yankiv's approach is also accepting, as far as the pshat we're using right now in the Gemara, is also accepting the Samuch Lemincha Gedola setup, and yet you'll see, and now here we've flipped the triangles over to indicate the approach to each one of these examples is going to be different than the approach we took before, and we're going to be speaking about much more conventional forms of the above mentioned activities, and still we're going to be suggesting that we're going to be learning the restriction of the Mishnah of not starting Mincha, even though it would seem that you have a lot of time left afterwards to daven. So he says, Li'olam b'tisperz didon. The Mishnah, when it says don't sit down to take a haircut, we're not talking about the Ben Elosh haircut, but rather a standard haircut. L'chadchilo amaylo yeshev. Now, in our markings, we've added a type of dashed underline, a diagonal dashed underline, to show the repetitive nature of this question under each one of the examples. The question will be, if you're talking about a conventional activity, then why are you saying that it's best not to start? That's lechatchila means it's best not to start. Why not? Why lechatchila my leishiv? Why shouldn't he sit by the barber if it's a standard haircut? Why should he not sit down at 12 noon for this? Answer: Gzeiro shemo yishover azug. We're afraid that in the middle of the haircut, the zug is the scissors, the whatever device is used for cutting the hair, it might break, and you'll be sitting on the barber's chair, waiting and waiting and waiting until it gets repaired, until he finds a replacement one, and that could end up taking a long time. Velola merchatz lazia be'alma. The example of the merchatz is really just going in for the schwitz, for the sauna aspect, and not for all of the other activities. And the question then arises, lechatchila milo, so then why shouldn't you go in to take the schwitz, to get the sweat at 12 noon? Isn't there a lot? Wouldn't you finish that and still have a long time afterwards to daven mincha? The Gemara answers, well, we're afraid, gzeiro shemo yis'alef, or yis'alfa. The girsa on the side indicates a reading yis'alef. There's a fear that in the engaging in the schwitz, in the sweat, in the sauna, a person might faint. And, well, of course, that will, until he comes back to, it will take a long time. The Lola Borski, the Unibalma, the issue of the tannery is just to check out what's needed, and not the actual starting of the tanning process. And still, a person should not go into to the tannery. L'chadchila amaylo, well, why not? Why is it a l'chadchila suggestion not to start, meaning even just to check out? Dilma chozi pseido bizvine umatrid. Well, if he goes into his tannery and sees skins there, he might see problems. That's pseido, a loss in his merchandise. He might find some of the skins something has gone wrong with them, and that will then preoccupy his mind, and he won't be able to daven with the proper mindset. Matrid, Rashi says, yitztair, he'll have a feeling of pain, of aggravation, v'yeh torud bitzaro, and he'll be preoccupied with this state of mind, v'lo yispalel, and he won't even come to daven. So it's not just that he'll daven with an improper mindset, but he'll be so preoccupied he won't even daven. The Gemara continues, v'lo lecho b'suda ketana. The lo lecho means a normal meal, a standard meal, not a banquet. L'chadchila milo, so why should he not begin a standard lunchtime meal at 12 noon before davening? Dilma osi lamshuche. He might come to draw it out, to drag it out, and if that takes place, then he will be in effect limiting the amount of time left to daven afterwards. So better not to engage even in a standard lunch before davening mincha, even though you're so early in the day. You're talking about 12 noon. Veloi ledin begmar hadin. When the Mishnah says not to enter a court case, it's not talking about the beginning. We're talking about the end, the Gemar Din, where it's the time where the verdict is reached and recited. Why should one not enter the verdict rendering at something as early as 12 noon? How much time could that possibly take to issue the Gemar Din? So lechatchila milo, why should one not enter the Gemar Din at such an early point in the day? Answer: Dilma chozi time of asosardina, because as he's about to issue the verdict, the judges might discover a reason to reverse their thinking and end up starting all over again, so that it will become a case of tchilas din. And tchilas din, the beginning of the case, starting all over again, in fact, could take a long time. At this point in the Gemara, the Gemara asks, what is considered the beginning? In other words, we had a number of activities, and in our Mishnah, you'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and this can be aligned with the arrow above. You'll see opposite the third line of the Mishnah, also to the left-hand side of the text. There, the Mishnah says, "V'im hischilu ein mafsikin." Well, if they started, so we don't stop them. What the Gemara is interested in knowing right now is what is considered that point in time, which is the starting of. So we've also indicated with the under our nosei mivne heading in the margin, you can see a diamond is featured, and we've featured the word hascholas. Each diamond will surround a case of hascholas, and then the respective activity. Acharei shamishna, we've written in our comment here. Acharei shamishna omra de'im ischilu pu'ulois hanal ein mafsikin. That once started any one of the above mentioned activities, we don't stop them. Hagmon varas me emosai nechshav hascholosan shel kol pulo pula. We will want to then analyze or define what constitutes the beginning of each one of the above mentioned activities. And once we establish that, then we'll appreciate that which the Mishnah says. Well, if you started, well then we don't stop you. So what's considered the starting? So the Gemara, Neimos haschalas tisporas. What is considered the beginning of the haircut? Omar Rav Ovin, Mishianiach Maforis Shel Saporin al Birkov. When one places the barber's cloth or mat on his knees. Of course, this is to catch the hairs and protect your clothing. So when the maforas, this cloth, or Rashi calls it the sudar also can mean a head turban, which you'll see in the Rashi, a reference to the unraveling of the turban, which was the first article of clothing that was removed in the case of the merchatz, as you'll see very shortly. So it could be that this mafuras is actually the same thing, because if his hair is getting cut, he has to remove his head turban. But whatever the case is, Rashi on this mafuras says sudar v'nosno al birkov shalipol haser al begodav. Just that the Gemara calls it mafuras shel saporin, it sounds like it's a special cloth that the barbers provide, which we are familiar with to this day. The Gemara continues, Umeemosai hascholas merchots. What is the beginning of the bathhouse experience? Omar Rav Ovin. Rabbi Ovin explains, Mi sheyare mafarto hemenu. When he takes off his head turban, which is the first article of clothing one removes before the bath experience, the bathhouse experience. Umeemosai hascholas borski. What's the beginning of the tanning process? Answer, Mishi Yikshor Bein Ksefov. The Rashi says, Mishi Yikshor Bein Ksefov es bote zroosov shikorin, that was apparently a special clothing that the tanner would wear. So it's a reference to the tying of this garment literally between his shoulders. The Rashi's reference here to the Botei Zrosov is some type of article of clothing that would cover his arms. So that's the beginning of the tanning process, where he starts to suit up for it. Me'emosai ascholas achila, what is considered the beginning of the meal? So here we have two pshatim, and the Gemara will point out they're not necessarily arguing. Rav Omar Mishitol Yodov, from the point that he washes his hands, and Rav Chanina Omar Mishiyatir Chagura, from the point that he undoes his belt. Velo pligi, and there is no machlokas being Rav and Chanina. They're simply referring to two different areas where there are different practices. Ha lon v'ha lahu. Lon means for us, and since we're learning the Babylonian Talmud, it means for us in Bavel, as opposed to Lahu, for them in Eretz Yisrael. So we look at the Rashi, Ha Lon V'Halahu, B'nei Bavel, Hoyu Chogrin Es Atzmon B'Choizek, the people in Bavel used to wear their belts or gird themselves in a very tight fashion. Ukshayuchin Srichin Latirim, in order to sit down and start eating, so one would have to undo this very tight belt or tight girdle situation. And that would be their beginning. Ubnei Eretz Yisrael lo hoyu nohagin kein batos chagura koidem netilas yadayim. In Eretz Yisrael, so they didn't have this practice. What might be the case is that in Eretz Yisrael they didn't gird themselves so tightly, so there was no need for undoing the belt, so that the beginning of their meal was the washing of the hands. In the case of Bovel, it would appear that the undoing of the belt took place even before the washing of the hands. Omar Abaye, Hani Chavrin Bavloi. Abaye says that our Babylonian colleagues, Lamadom Tfilos Arvis, Rishus, according to the opinion that says that the evening Shmone Esrei, that means the nighttime, what we call Mairiv or Arvis, is optional. So as a result of this, we'll call it lower classification of Mairiv as being called Rishus, Kevon Deshora Le Hemaine Lo Matruchinon Le. Once he has undone his belt for an evening, in the evening, so we don't trouble him. Let's say he's undone his belt for the evening meal, so we don't trouble him to stop, but rather finish the meal and then daven Mariv. So the way Abaye presents this is that this is so only if you hold that Tfilas Arvis is optional. So the Gemara asks a question. This question lasts a couple of lines till the bottom. Ulaman di Omar Choyva Matruchin Alei. And according to the opinion, it says that Arvis is obligatory. Would we then trouble him to stop and daven Arvis and then go back to his meal? Mind you, Tfilas Mincha, which everyone holds, is obligatory. And the Mishnah said, well, if you started, we don't make you stop. Go ahead and finish. And Rav Chanan says, what does that mean, the beginning? That's when he undoes his belt. So that, mind you, for Tfilas Mincha, if you started your meal and that is done by the undoing of the belt, we say, go ahead and finish. You don't have to stop. So Tfilas Arvis should have some kind of higher standard. Because you hold Tfilas Arvis as Chova, we will tell you to stop and go and first stop and then go back to your meal. Why would you think that Tfilas Arvis, just because you hold its Chova, should be treated any more strictly or more seriously than Tfilas Mincha, where we are lenient in this aspect? The Gemara answers. We go to the top of Daf Yud Omen Aleph. Hosam lo shchicha shichrus. Ocha shchicha shichrus. There's a very big difference between a daytime meal versus a nighttime meal. During the daytime, lo shchicha shichrus, it's not common for people to become intoxicated. Therefore, it's not a big risk for us to say, well, if you started, go ahead, finish the meal. You'll daven mincha afterwards. However, when you're dealing with the nighttime meal, it's common for people to become intoxicated, to become drunk, and therefore we can't take our chances. That's hocha shchicha shichrus. Therefore, we can't take our chances. Even if you did begin your evening meal, we tell you stop, daven mariv, and then continue. And that's because we are working with the opinion that the tefilas arvis chova, because they hold Tfilas Arvis as chova. However, if you hold Tfilas Arvis as rishus, so we don't trouble you, even though there is this consideration that maybe he will become intoxicated. Inami, another answer, another point of difference. Bemincha kevon de kviya lezimna mirtas v'lo osi lemifsha. Since mincha is time bound, it has a set time. In other words, you have only the balance of the daytime hours to say mincha. So we'll say it has a more limited time allowance to it in the first place, a more limited time allotment. Therefore, people will be careful. Mirtas, they'll be fearful, filosim mifsha, and won't come to become to be negligent. So we can say, okay, if you began, finish the meal. However, Arvis, when it comes to the evening, Kevan Dekuli Laila Zman Arvis, since you have the whole night, you have a long time, you have more hours available for Arvis, so people become comfortable. And Lo Mirtas, they're not fearful, and they're not pressured, and the Osil Mifshan, they can easily come to forgetting and not davening the Arvis. Therefore, in the evening, stop, even if you started the meal, even if you undid your belt, stop and daven Mariv first. Maskif lo Rav Sheshes. Trichusa lemesar heimaine. We seem to be making a big to-do about someone who started his meal in the evening, and we pointed out that if you hold, for example, that Tfilas Arvis is Rishus, so we said Abayi said that once he undoes his belt, so we don't trouble him. So Rav Sheshes is asking here, is it such a trouble to simply gird yourself again? And furthermore, so daven even without your belt on, even without yourself being girded. So Rav Sheshes raises two questions on this topic of why are we making such a big to-do about girding, about having opened your belt, and as a result of that, so we say go ahead and finish the evening meal. What's the big deal in girding yourself? And even if you don't, so daven like you are right now without the belt. So the Gemara answers, and the answer is directed at the second point. This is something that Tosfos brings out in his explanation. The reason that we don't say just daven like that is, but we would be interested in his retying his belt. Mishum shenemar ikoin likras elokecho Yisrael, which means one shall prepare himself. Ikon hachona, prepare himself before greeting the Almighty, and that's of course through davening. So there's a need for preparing yourself. Rashi says hisnoy lefonov, to literally beautify yourself or present yourself, make yourself in a presentable fashion before davening. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.